Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food was made for the stomach, and stomach for food. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. There's an evil attitude that permeates our culture today. It takes on various forms, but goes something like this. Yeah, you know what, Dustin? It's my body, it's my life, and I can do whatever I want with it. And you know what? This statement is true if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. However, if you have, if you call yourself a Christian, then Scripture is clear about whose body you are using and whose life you're living. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. He says, "For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 10, verse 23 writes, "I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course." So let me ask you this. When it comes to planning our life, aka plotting and scheming to get our own way, we are to be reminded that the Lord cares much more about your life and your body than you ever could. And that's why we're talking about the importance of waiting to have sex until that honeymoon night today with author and pastor Dion Thomas from King's Sanctuary in Kingston, Jamaica. We've been discussing his devotional workbook over the past few days. It's titled 21 Days to Sexual Purity, a biblical devotional for overcoming sexual temptations. He's got a great story today of being married in his early 30s as a virgin, and the blessings that have brought that to his life. On today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss three things. Number one, the benefits of waiting to have sex until you're married. Number two, how one godly person can change your life forever. And number three, the importance of reading the Bible from cover to cover, over and over. Today's show is titled, Staying Sexually Pure. You were married at, did you say 32?
31. I might have 31.
At 31, and you were a virgin doing that. And that's, you know, we don't hear about that in the church and in the culture because, I don't know, you tell me, that there's a culture of almost being embarrassed by it. I want you to just encourage those listening, Dion, that are wanting to have sex for the first time outside of marriage, just for whatever reasons. And for those who are waiting, give them some encouragement. It's so much more about the physical side of things. Can you touch on that and just provide some encouragement?
Yeah, man. You know, I always began encouraging people. I have many friends. My best friend didn't have the testimony that I had, but we're really good friends. And I've encouraged so many friends in this particular era who, guys who did not, you know, have a pure walk before God in this area of sexual purity and were sexually active. And our first encouragement is always to return to the Lord with all your heart. And even though we could be virgins, sometimes we are virgins and we're not wholly committed to the Lord with all of our hearts. And, you know, I think both sides need that consistent encouragement that we are, you know, we are for the Lord. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear that your body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And God has a great intention upon our bodies. The enemy, he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is the Satan's desire. And he will destroy us through pleasure. He will destroy us through things that feel good. He will use anything to destroy us. And my encouragement for individuals is to sit beyond, as you rightly said, to sit beyond the physical. Look past Look past this moment of casual sex. Look past this moment of just having a good feeling right now, and look beyond that. And ask the, and I think it's a very good thing to ask the Lord to help you to look beyond it. Ask the Lord to help you to look beyond it, to hang around with people in every church. In every church, as bad as things are, I believe that in every Bible preaching church, there are people there. If it is just one person, there are people there who want the things of God. And we have to find these people, seek these people out. We have to really seek these people out. They're there. They're really there. And put encouragement, or put people around our in our lives that can strengthen us and encourage us in a particular direction, you know. And for those who are virgins, I'd like to encourage to keep your purity before the Lord, you know. I as a young man growing up, I went to a boys' school, and that was not the thing to be. It was never popular to be, you know, but thank God for boldness, you know, right? You know, as growing up as a Christian, my boldness came in my life at 18 years old. That's when I was bold. And I had a good response for why I would wait until I was married. And if I never got married, I was prepared to remain as a virgin until I died. And my reason was that the body was not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. My reason was I'd come into a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ, and I wanted to please Him. God, and I think God puts that desire in every believer, that we want to please Him. He's the one who we aim to please. He's the one who we want. We don't want to dishonor Him at all. And I think that we need to be around people who encourage us that that is a good thing. We can be like a Daniel who was in a foreign land and honored the Lord. We can be like a Joseph who was in a foreign land and honored the Lord. They still exist today. We can be like a Job who the Lord looked down upon him and he said, hey, have you considered my servant who shuns, who fears the Lord and hates evil? You know, these people still exist. God still has his people. But we can be like a David who failed God, but David never continued failing the Lord. And I think that's the beauty about David's life and Samson's life as well. Mm-hmm. I love Samson's life because Samson shows he started off so well in Judges 13, introduced as a guy who was really racing after God. But in 14, he got in a relationship that really hurt him. And in 15 and 16, you know, more relationships. But he came back to the Lord in chapter 16, and he says, oh, sovereign Lord. And I think that's an encouragement to somebody who probably started with God, and then he missed the mark. Remember Samson. He prayed to the Lord. He repented. He turned to the Lord. Oh, sovereign Lord, remember the plan you had on my life, and let me get vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. He said, Lord, I recommit my walk to you. And I think that's my encouragement, that whether you've been walking in this particular area and you're an example, or whether you've missed the mark, to make sure the heart is inclined to love the Lord, to go back to the Lord, to return to the Lord. And I think that's the Lord's strong encouragement, and I think we have that grand encouragement from the Lord that says, you know, my dear children, I write this to you so that you do not sin. But he puts in such an encouraging encouragement after that. He says, but if you do, the provision is there. We have Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is able to wash us and cleanse us and give us a new beginning. So that's my encouragement to anybody who has missed it. You have a new beginning through Christ. In Christ, we have a new beginning. It's never a condemning answer for those who are in Christ, and for those who are walking well. And you know, this area is not a weak point for them. My encouragement is to encourage others in their journey towards honoring the Lord in this particular area of their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I find it amazing how we talked about isolation earlier. And what I heard you saying, Dion, as you were talking, is this idea of how important community is. I always tell people, Dion, that one godly man can change your life forever. And it's just one godly man that will lead to two, to three, to four. So, you know, the aspect there of the difference of being in isolation, that's not good, that's not godly, but also being in community, especially when it comes to sexual integrity and sexual sobriety and sexual purity, you've got to have godly men that will encourage you to do all of the things that you just suggested there. Let's talk about how the spiritual battle for lust, how it begins in the mind. You talk about that in your book. Can you say more?
Yes, definitely. You know, in Romans chapter 8, the Word of God says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, they have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You know, in Colossians 3 as well, it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And, you know, we see a lot of encouragement throughout the Word of God. In Romans 12, popular verses, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. And it goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The enemy wants to get you in the mind. He wants to control your thoughts. He wants to control your way of thinking. And not only that, he wants to blind our minds to the truth of God's Word. You see, the truth of God's Word is what liberates us. The Bible says, you know, it is the truth that sets us free. And as truth, which is the Word of God, comes into our lives, it has a freeing effect, a powerful freeing effect as God's Word enters our minds. And so it is that for when we find ourselves failing, you can always look at your thought life. You know, James describes the pattern of failure, you know. Sin, when it has conceived, it bringeth forth death. And it really, it puts the pattern to you, the desire, how desires are formed as we entertain particular thoughts. Particular thoughts are entertained, and then desire is formed, and desire matures, and desire gives birth to sin, and sin gives birth to death. And we see that particular format, that particular, those steps beautifully exemplified in the book of James. So the Christian now has to learn to feed on the Word of God. He has to learn to get the Word of God in him. The Word of God is the sword, is described in Ephesians as the sword of the Spirit. It's our most powerful offensive weapon, our only offensive weapon. And, you know, that's one of the things that I find in encouraging a lot of people in their walk with God is that they have to know God's Word. Knowing God's Word is going to give you the success to walk with the Lord. As in Psalm 119, it says, how can a young man stay pure by living according to your word?
Amen.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. All these things speak to the importance of the Word of God. Again, you know, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, I was speaking to some friends the other day, a group of friends, the church I'm pastoring, and I was speaking to a group of friends, and I was saying to them that there are about 33,000 verses in the Bible. If we knew 1,000 verses, we'd know 1 over 33, which is about 3.3%. 3.3% would not be described as having the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. That's 3.3%. But many Christians don't know God's Word.
Yeah.
Many Christians have less than 3.3% of the Word of God in them. You know, when a king took his throne in Deuteronomy 17, the Word of God said that he should write it for himself, the law, and he should read it all the days of his life that he might learn to revere the Lord his God, and he would not exalt himself above his brothers. He was to read it all the days of his life, and that's what God wants. That's what God wants us to know his word, because his word is not a mere word, you know. Deuteronomy 32, 47, it says, these words are not mere words, they are your life. And a popular one that, you know, that we all know, you know, that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. So it is that if we are not connected to God's word, our minds are going to be controlled by something else, by the things of this world. And temptation will be easy to give in because the mind has really not been trained in the word of God. So my strong encouragement to people who are, you know, who want to honor God in this area is to get in the Word of God. I encourage people to try to read through the Word of God once a year, and I don't want to be so legalistic, but I think it's
sure
good to set a standard so that people can aim for something. The Word of God can actually be read in 72 hours. It takes 72 hours to read the Word of God. And as somebody who grew up in church, I spoke to thousands of people, not just in Jamaica, but in Trinidad in the States as well, when I'm, you know, leading Bible studies in different places. And the consistent thing I get is that they have, many Christians have never read off the Bible, never once. It takes 70 hours, but they have never read it through even once. So my encouragement to people that I disciple is I encourage them to aim to read off the Word of God within a year. And most of them do within 6 to 8 months. And they say, my goodness, I didn't realize it was so easy. And, you know, eventually they get it done. And they find themselves just seeing a difference in their walk. They see a difference. And the difference is what encourages you. Because as you start to see yourself growing in your journey with God, you get encouraged. And that's something that we ought to, success encourages success. You know, in any area of life, when you're doing well in your work, it encourages you to keep doing well. you know. But when you're doing badly, you feel to give up. It's the same thing in your walk with God. As you do well in your walk with God, you get the word of God in and you find, my goodness, my thoughts are different. I'm seeing life differently. I'm really seeing it the way that God sees. And you keep getting the word of God in. It encourages you. And that encouragement is a big thing. You need that encouragement for the next day, you know.
Pastor Dion referenced Psalm 119, and the psalmist asks a great question. He says, how can a young person stay pure? And then he immediately answers it. He says, by obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations that you've given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. As we read this passage, we notice six things here, don't we? Number one, in verse 11, to hide God's word in our hearts. And to do that, we must spend time with him to develop this relationship. Verse 12, we come with an attitude of worship. The third thing we learn is in verse 13, and that is to read God's word out loud. The fourth thing in verse 14 is to come with an attitude of thankfulness. The fifth thing we learn is in verse 15, and that is to think deeply and critically on God's word. Not to just read it and just forget about it, but to meditate, to ask questions, to journal, to spend time with the Lord. And lastly, verse 16, that is to enjoy this time and once again, not to rush through it. Reading Psalm 119 for 40 days in a row would be a huge jumpstart to start with sexual sobriety, along with Pastor Dion's workbook here, this devotional that we've been talking about all week long. Either way, keep a journal nearby to write down the things that the Lord shows you. And once again, spend time with him to write those things down. Well, tomorrow we continue this conversation with pastor and author Dion Thomas and his devotional book, 21 Days to Sexual Purity. And we're going to talk about whether or not there's a silver bullet to sexual integrity and sexual sobriety. Thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, join the conversation at dustindaniels.org. You can also follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. You can also rate this show or share this episode with a friend, your spouse, maybe a pastor, your priest, or your minister. Or a small group leader, somebody at your church who may be interested in what we're talking about today. Well, Jesus said that in Matthew 5:8, that we are blessed when we are pure in heart because we're going to see God. Well, walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.